Welcome to this edition of TechNet Radio. I'm your host, Tommy Patterson. Joining me today is Ian Philpott, new to our team in DX. And what we're doing today is talking about how we deploy virtual machine resources in Azure using Visual Studio. We're going to talk about the traditional method with PowerShell first, and then we're going to kind of break away from that. And we're going to jump into Visual Studio and do some cool work with templates in Azure Resource Manager. Ian, welcome to the show.
Hey, Tommy. Thanks for having me on.
Great. So tell us a little bit about your background. I mean, what all have you been doing lately? How did you get into doing this type of work?
Great question. I've been over in field engineering for past few years, working with customers kind of in the enterprise space where we're starting to migrate existing applications from on-premise into Azure. So my background has been mostly in dev, so I've been working with developer teams and DevOps teams to, you know, automate their deployments and get their apps cloud ready, you know. So that's what I've been doing for the past couple of years now.
Very cool. Welcome to the team. You know, for a lot of folks that don't know, what we do is we talk about the latest technology, show you different ways to use it, go around and speak at events, and today we're actually making a video on Channel 9 for TechNet Radio. So let's go ahead and get started. This is the initial page that we're looking at right now is the Azure PowerShell with Resource Manager how-to guide. And so what we're going to do is kind of walk through this quickly, show you how you would normally do stuff with PowerShell, but then we're going to take that same type of mentality and adapt it to how you would do it in Visual Studio. So let's go ahead and walk through that.
Okay, yeah, let's if we can, take just a step back really and talk about Resource Manager and why you want to use Resource Manager, right?
Okay.
A lot of people have been writing PowerShell scripts for Azure for a while now, so there's a lot of scripts out there. And this is a fundamental change to the way you write your Azure scripts. I think it's September, if I remember correctly, September, they're supposed to be changing the PowerShell, or we are supposed to be changing the PowerShell module over to use Resource Manager as the default instead of the service management commandlets that, you know, we've all known, grown to know and love. Mm-hmm. So essentially, a lot of people's scripts are going to break then, and this is the going forward, this is the way, you know, we, Microsoft, is saying that the right way to use PowerShell in Azure.
Okay.
So I think it's very prudent, very timely to start looking at this and seeing how your scripts are going to change.
Right. Yeah. And then from a building blocks perspective, the reason for this, the Resource Manager has a much it's much better at taking in multiple commands, running multiple things at one time, deploying multiple resources at one time, versus the traditional method with the service management, where it was more of a wait for this to finish type mentality, right?
Yeah. So exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. So we know why we need to use Resource Manager now and why we need to adapt to using PowerShell with Resource Manager. But let's talk now about what all are we doing in this article. We're going to deploy a virtual machine. I know that, but we're actually going to do more than that.
Yeah. So you start walking through this article. It starts talking about prerequisites and things like that. I've already went ahead and installed the Azure PowerShell module. I just used the web platform installer to knock that out real quick. And then it starts talking about this switch Azure mode commandlet. Mm-hmm. And if you're in here and you're working through the normal git Azure VM type of command,
right?
That's all well and good. But that's part of the service management commandlet. So if we take a look at switch Azure mode, and then you can choose your mode types here. So we have Azure Resource Manager and Azure Service Management. So what we're really wanting to do is switch into Azure Resource Manager. And you see there's a warning being thrown now, kind of alluding back to what we were just saying. that this will be deprecated. That's
Right.
because there's
Right.
not going to be a need to switch any longer.
Correct.
Okay, so it kind of walks you through that and then walks you through creating a resource group. I kind of have that scripted out for us real quick so we don't have to type all these commands out. So I'm in the ISE. I'll just go ahead and run switch Azure mode, make sure that we're in the Azure, the right Azure mode here.
All right, folks, if you haven't got the ISE running with PowerShell, this is it's where I do almost all of my stuff in PowerShell now. Great tool. If you're at a PowerShell prompt, you can type in ISE and hit enter. It'll take you directly into this. Just keep in mind, running as administrator does apply for certain things that you're trying to do. So if you're running PowerShell and you haven't run it as administrator, you may need to for what we're trying to do.
Exactly. Yeah. Live in the ISE. It's a great tool. So from here, I'm going to go ahead and just add my Azure account. So I'm going to hit F8, my hotkey there, to execute that line and log in using my credentials.
Correct.
And then this is going through our MFA process, the multi-factor authentication.
Right, which comes with
So I'm
every Azure administrator account. So as soon as you set up a subscription, you're automatically the administrator of that subscription, and all admin accounts that have subscriptions have that multi-factor authentication method available, which is pretty cool. So we're adding the Azure account. What that's doing is taking your information and adding it into a database on this machine so it knows who you are, knows your subscriptions, and even more than that. And so my guess is the next command we're going to do is the get Azure subscription, where we can see what the default one is, right? Or set the default one. So
Yeah, I
if
do that. I do that mainly because I have, as you see, I have multiple subscriptions, and I
correct.
want to be sure that I'm using my internal consumption account.
Gotcha. You can set, other subscriptions running a similar command. You can go ahead and set which one you want, but as long as you can see this one's the default, you're good to go.
Exactly.
Very cool.
So that's kind of just the setup. Okay, now the ISE, I'm ready to actually start using the resource manager from PowerShell. Our first command here is just get Azure Resource Group Gallery Template with a argument for the publisher
Okay.
as Microsoft.
Right.
So I'm going to go ahead and run that. And now what this is going to return is just a list of all of the gallery templates that we make available. And once I run that, we'll see a bunch of different templates. Now these templates are JSON files with the virtual machine options and parameters that you would normally, use a switch for the new Azure VM, config, and all of that. It's just all laid out in JSON format in this text file.
Gotcha.
So let's go ahead and get a list of all of these. And you see there's quite a bit. We can scroll through. At the top, there's things like new app insights, new ASP.NET site, things like that. And then you get down towards the bottom, you see a lot of different preview. Oracle database, so you get to deploy Oracle databases, SQL servers, SQL Server images, Team Foundation server image. I mean, there's a lot in here. But what we're really going to focus on tonight is the Windows Server 2012 R2 Data Center
Okay.
preview. And I went ahead and created the next command there using that identity.
Okay. Gotcha.
It's the 2012 R2 Data Center. And this is going to save this file down to whatever path I specified here. I'm putting it in my temp directory, so I'll just hit F8, and that should save it. And let's go ahead and take a quick look at what this looks like. And this is where we start discovering the problem, or what I think the problem with resource manager config files is initially.
Okay.
So if we go ahead and open this up, in Notepad, you see we have a couple of different areas here. And I think there's four different areas: parameters, variables, resources, and output. Now, right. In this particular file, there's only parameters and resources. And parameters are things that you would pass into this file. Things like what's the storage account name for the VM, what the cloud service domain name will be, mm-hmm. what virtual network, what the host name of the VM will be, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So you'd pass those in. And they get used down here in resources. You right. see here the first resource is of type storage accounts. So it's going to create a new storage account. And it's going to be, you know, your standard geo-replicated Azure storage account. Creates a cloud service with the domain name, a virtual network, with a subnet. And then we get into the actual virtual machine that we want to build. And you see we have our host name. It goes on specifying endpoints and the storage profile, where to kind of linking it up to the network, linking it up to the storage that you just created. So as you kind of go through this, you get the idea here, Tommy. Do you want to, I hand you this file and say, okay, take this file and make the virtual machines you want out of it. Do you want to do that, or do you want to write a PowerShell script like you've always done?
Yeah, I can see what you mean. So it is quite a bit, and there's variations to it, and you probably would want to have I can see different angles where you would want to use both, but I would really like to have it where I have different answer files that I can call and
yeah.
just be done with it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, once you, like you said, yeah, once you put the work in to make this file, then yeah, life is going to be easy, especially if you're deploying like 20 machines.
Mm-hmm.
You write just a classic service commandlet script. It's going to create the first machine, go to the next one, create the next machine, like you said, sequentially, mm-hmm. where this can deploy them at the same time, which is nice, like, you know, I think you pointed out earlier. So, but this is the problem. I don't want to open Notepad and start copying and pasting and editing these files.
Mm-hmm.
Even though this would work, I mean, we can grab this right here. And the next line that I have here is actually going out and using that. So new Azure resource group, the gallery template. Now, I'm not specifying the one that I saved locally. I could. So if I modified the one that I saved locally, I could put the path to that. But this is using the actual file hosted in Azure right now. And then you see those parameters. They are literally detected as switches. So in here, this username is the username parameter that you see right here.
Mm-hmm.
So right. it will parse that. And so we'll go ahead and use my admin username and password. Now this password, I do believe it wants a secure string.
Okay.
So we'll just say should be secure here, because I don't think I'm going to spend the time really running this unless you want me to.
No, it's okay. I think people understand that to a degree what we're trying to do, and we want to get to showing how to do it in Visual Studio, but this is good. This is
yeah.
showing what you would have to go through. Yep.
Exactly. So this is kind of basically what the command would look like. I would execute this, and it would create a resource group in Azure.
Mm-hmm.
It would create a cloud service, it would create a network, and it would put a virtual machine in that cloud service running on that network.
Right. And one thing to take note of here, folks, if you already have a storage account with that name, it's going to fail. If you already have a resource group with that name, you know, that's a problem. So you need to be aware of what your resource groups and your storage account names are already. And if you're going to be, you know, make sure that the VNet address space is available and good as well. So a couple of things you want to look for first, and you see that location. It says East Asia. That's where it's being deployed. Is that where your user base is? You know, one of the things that you can look at is all the different locations that are available and pick which one is good for your user base, because they're going to be connecting faster. This is where, you know, latency comes in. How fast do you want your users connecting? Put it close as possible. So good stuff there. The VNet address space, whole different recording, whole different video that we could go into to discuss what that means. So if you are not aware, what I'll probably do is put a link up at the end of this for a jumpstart that we did on Azure, on on Virtual Academy, where we talk about networking and how to do proper networking in Azure. So we won't go into that, but just note that's just a standard VNet address space in Azure. Okay?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, sounds great.
Great. So now I think what we got to do is we need to get into Visual Studio and prepare Visual Studio to properly talk to Azure. Is that right? So let's just say this is a brand new install of Visual Studio. Nothing else has been done to it yet, but we need to make sure we have it prepared. Okay, so let's walk through that.
Okay, so I just got done installing Visual Studio. I'll run new project, and now, you know, you can go out and grab the community version or whatnot, download it.
Right.
Come to cloud under new project, and you see get Microsoft Azure SDK for .NET. Because I want to write a JSON file template for these resource group resources. So to do that, we've got to, you know, kind of jump through this hoop. So I'm not going to give it a name or anything. I'm just going to select get Azure SDK for .NET and hit OK.
Okay.
Simple. It's going to create a project that I'm going to delete the project afterwards. All I really want to do is click this download Microsoft Azure and click run.
Right.
And that's going to launch the web platform installer.
Correct.
And this is just a nice little installer that goes out and searches a repository on the web of a lot of different developer tools and things like that,
right.
Particularly in this case, the Azure SDK for .NET VS 2015.
Right, and you 2.6. Clicked run there, but for some folks who haven't turned on or turned off some of the security features on their machines, you may want to save it and then run as administrator just to be sure that it gets installed properly. But go ahead.
So yeah, that's what the file name would be if you saved it. VWDO, yada, yada, yada. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and click install.
Great.
And accept the
It's roughly 100 megs, so it's going to download. And notice it's downloading a couple other things here to prepare, which the storage emulator and some other pieces, so that we can do, so that Visual Studio can perform tasks, debug tasks, or trying things out locally before actually running and deploying them to Azure. Pretty neat stuff what Visual Studio can do. If you're not, I wasn't a developer. I was an IT guy. I didn't use Visual Studio much, but when you start looking at the power around what it can do, from a debug, from a just running through an exercise to see what's going to happen, it's pretty sharp.
So. Yeah. And they now have the PowerShell extension that their goal is to have it on par with the ISE. If it's not already on par, it's pretty close.
Okay.
So I've started, certainly when I'm writing code and I'm in Visual Studio working and I need a PowerShell script, I just create a PowerShell script directly in Visual Studio and you know, write my script and debug my script there instead of using the ISE. Wow. Where a year ago I was using the ISE and then switching back to Visual Studio because Visual Studio had no real good tooling for PowerShell till just recently.
Right. When we say we're talking IntelliSense, we're talking, you know, where it can you know, finish your commands for you, help, write built right in, All that stuff really helps out. So, really cool to see how they've integrated that. It kind of tells you the way the shift of the IT implementer is going. Not everybody's going to DevOps right away, but we're making it available and making it something that's a leading force in how you can do your job now, in what used to be known as a developer-only tool. So, pretty sharp.
Yeah, there's many other things. If you just open that Server Explorer and start expanding out Azure, and you'll see a lot of different tools there. And maybe we'll talk about that another time, maybe.
Yeah, we'll do another video on that one. Lots of good stuff there.
All right, so there we are. The SDK is finished installing, so I'm gonna go ahead and hit continue. And it's going to open up a kind of a welcome web page. So let's just go ahead and get rid of that and click finish and exit.
Okay.
Let's get us back to Visual Studio here. Now, remember this created a
It's a
project.
project, but we're not going to use it.
Yeah, so
Right.
I'm just going to come up here and I'll just say close solution. And then you can just close that down. Let's just say file new project.
Okay.
All right. Now in cloud, not showing up. Maybe I need to go ahead and just take Visual Studio down.
Okay, so we're going to close out Visual Studio, go back in, maybe it'll refresh and show us.
Yeah, that's.
See, this is stuff that people want to know because it happens to them, right?
Yeah. Yep. Certainly happening to me. All right, let's try this again. New project. There we go. It's updating the MEF graph and component caches and all that, and hopefully this will get it now. So yeah,
Cool.
close
So
Visual
good.
Studio.
Yeah, good tip. If you take anything away from this, folks, that's what you want to take away. So, yeah, I see some extra stuff there now. Azure Resource Group, perfect.
That's exactly what we were wanting to look for here. So here we have a project template for Azure Resource Group, and I'm going to go ahead and we'll just name it Azure Resource Group. So just take the one out. And one of the things I like to do is put this a lot closer to the root of C, because sometimes your file names can get really long with these paths.
Okay.
But I'm not going to worry about it for this one. But just kind of a little
Okay.
tip there, and I'll hit OK. And we see it jumps right into starting to create a wizard. Now, this is kind of pulling from that gallery that we looked at earlier. It's not everything that the PowerShell command gives us, but it is quite a bit and probably a great starting point for any project here. And you see, you can create a web app, a virtual machine, load balance virtual machine, Docker, Linux box, Ubuntu, or just go with a blank template. But for this, we'll just start with a virtual machine. And
Okay.
I'll click OK. And that'll create our project. And this project we'll see in the Solution Explorer right here that it has scripts, templates, and tools.
Okay.
And the tool
There were
has
some
got to be.
JSON files we were looking at before, I think.
Yes, exactly. So we have a deploy script that's written for us in PowerShell. And like you said, we have the JSON file that we looked at earlier. It'll be similar to the one we looked at earlier. So I'll go ahead and open that up. And let's minimize this so we can get a little bit bigger picture here. And so we're already getting some syntax highlighting and things here, so it's already looking a little bit nicer than when we were working in just Notepad.
Correct. Or the ISE, for that matter. I mean, we can scroll a much bigger part of the screen. IntelliSense is really nice. So the ability to finish your commands for you if you're typing. So that's really cool. All right. So this looks familiar. We just talked about this in PowerShell. So what are we going to do?
So here we see we have another section. It's called variables. So there's some variables set up for us already, and they're just referenced throughout the rest of the resources in this JSON file. But over here is really where we start getting some benefits from Visual Studio. So if I go ahead and expand resources, I can see the resources that are listed out in the JSON file. So this is actually parsing the JSON file and allows me to jump directly to those sections, which is pretty
Ah, very
nice.
nice. Yep.
We can take this even a step further, whereas before in Notepad, if I wanted another virtual machine, I was coming down here, highlighting, is this the right, curly brace?
Right,
Hopefully
right.
so, highlighting and copying. Where here, I just come right to resources, right click on it, and select add a new resource. And now we're back into another wizard. And in here, we see we have a bunch of different options.
Right.
Public IP address, a network interface, DSC extension, Ubuntu virtual machine, Windows virtual machine. Let's grab that. So here it says, do you want to use a new, do you want to create a new storage account? We'll go ahead and say, let's create a new storage account for this virtual machine as well. Maybe we have some specific reason to do that. And I'll just call this another.
That's a whole nother recording too.
Yeah, exactly. Call it another SA.
Right.
And we'll just keep it in this virtual network right there. And virtual machine, we'll just call it VM2, something like that, and click
Okay.
add.
And that only needs to be unique in that for your subscription, right?
So this name is actually the resource name, how it's referred to within this JSON file. That's a very
Ah,
good
okay.
question. So
Very cool.
remember, when we pass in our parameters up here, it's going to ask you the VM2 name.
Okay,
And
okay.
this is where you would pass in that name under this parameter here. And that's what your virtual machine name would be.
Ah, very good. Okay.
Yeah. So kind of tying all of this together, all of this wizardry together within Visual Studio that we have, is the param file. Now, the param file here, had we not added, the VM2 and the VM2 nick, I'll just go ahead and start deleting all that stuff that we just added. And I'll
Okay.
delete the parameters as well. Just so we're kind of back to a clean slate.
Yep, deleting the storage, right? Okay.
Yep, that was the new storage account that we created. So we're kind of back to the original file.
Okay.
And these parameters, new storage account, username, password, DNS name, OS version, all of that, some of these parameters have a default value. So we don't really need to pass the parameter in. Back over here where we are passing these parameters in, these are the same parameters. So some with the default value, we don't need to pass in, but this parameter file, we are able to come in here and say, okay, I want this to be Ian, Phil, SA, and we'll say East. That should be
Okay.
probably a good name, I'd guess. And
And that's a name that has to be resolvable. But not in use, right?
correct. Correct,
Right.
yep. Then
I shouldn't
DNS
say
name.
resolvable. It wouldn't be resolvable right now because it's not out there. But it will be resolvable with a full URL at the end of this.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I could fill this parameter file out, kind of like I did, and I could create
Now, what's the,
multiple.
all right, what's the name, what's the DNS name for public IP? Why do we need to provide that?
Because that's going to be kind of like the cloud service name.
Okay, so cloud services are like the umbrella around the virtual machine, and when you get into doing load balancing or talking to this machine in any form, maybe it's a web server, maybe it's RDP, you could hit that name dot cloudapp.net or whatever extension we're, you know, we, suffix we would throw on this. We could have a custom domain name put on it. That's the name that we would hit.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. Good.
So, you know, from here I could create multiple versions of this. You know, I could do, you know, dev, test, prod versions of this param file. So then when I go to deploy one of these or deploy this resource group that contains this virtual machine and all of this in my PowerShell down here, I specify a template file name.
Right.
And I could just, you know, specify the dev want version of the template the param file or the
right.
test, et cetera, et cetera. So it kind of speeds up your deployment process. I don't have to think about, you know, what version, what's in which version, whatever. I just have it already pre-made right there, checked into source control. And when I execute this, I just specify if I want to deploy my dev environment or my test environment, whatever. So here, I'll go ahead and select open in ISE. Because I don't have the PowerShell tools installed yet for Visual Studio. So it's pretty long, kind of arduous script here with a bunch of parameters.
Okay, so we could do this in the ISE, but what we're going to do is go ahead and install the PowerShell tools for Visual Studio. Since they're not installed yet, they won't be installed for you either. Let's just jump through. What does that look like? We won't show you the whole install just to keep the video short, but let's go ahead and hit install now.
Okay, so that's just going to bring us out to the Visual Studio Gallery. And right here is the little download button. I'm going to click that. And I'm going to go ahead and it's going to try and download a VSIX file, VSIX. It's an extension for Visual Studio. I'm just going to go ahead and hit open. And that's going to launch the VSIX installer. And we'll let that run. It shouldn't actually take very long at all, but I will have to shut down Visual Studio and come back in. So I'll go ahead and click install. And that was it. Yeah.
Ah, perfect. All right, so we're going to close out of Visual Studio, come back into exactly the same solution we were just in, and continue.
Okay, so and right here, the Azure Resource Group under Recent was the one we were just in.
These are the little gotchas. This is why I like doing these videos, because there's little things that people may not click on. They may have not have known, do I need to install that? And, you know, run into trouble, and then they end up not using the tool. That really is perfect for what they're trying to do, especially in the test, dev, prod, recycle, DevOps-ish atmosphere. This is perfect.
Cool. So we're back in.
Okay.
I'm not getting much by way of let me close this out completely, because I should be getting some highlighting and things like that. There we go. Now.
Hey, look at that. Okay, so close out of those tabs and then open them back up before you get started. Good tip. Very nice. Okay, very good coloring.
Yeah.
And we can see what we're doing. All right.
Okay, so all right, so let's go ahead and actually deploy this now that we have, you know, the PowerShell tools, the PowerShell extension installed. As we're going through this, if we try and run this now, the one thing that you do need to do is just go ahead and make sure that these are in quotes. I mean, that's standard JSON convention. So come in to your parameter file, specify the storage account name that you'd like to use, Enfill, SA East, and username and password, or excuse me, public IP.
Right. And that DNS public IP is there for resolution for when you're trying to hit it from the internet for that storage account. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're in the
exactly.
preview portal. We're making sure there's nothing out there, I assume.
Yeah, I think we should be good. Let's change this name just a little
Just to be
bit.
sure, in case we used it in a previous. Yep. Then this is the big catch, folks. Everybody, look and see what storage account names you already have in use before you even try this, and makes life a whole lot easier.
So let's run with that. We'll just call it one, and I'll go ahead and right-click on the Deploy Azure Resource Group after I save that. Right-click and say Execute a Script. And then we'll put this into East US.
This is where it's this is the great part, because now all we're doing is providing two or three things here, and we're off and running. It's going off and doing all the work every time. You just tell it where you want it to go, and you could other do other parameters. You could say, subscriptions or different areas you want to deploy things to. We're simply just choosing two of them at this point.
Yep, exactly. So now that's
Very
going to run.
nice. So we see provisioning is running, provisioning status is running in for storage, for network, the public IP address, that's good. So if we were to look at the preview portal, will we see anything yet?
Yep, because the resource group should have been created. So let's go ahead and get this guy refreshed.
Okay.
And typically, what I do, I have just resource groups pinned right here. It's kind of taking a second to load up. So I just come back directly into my
Okay.
resource groups, and we should see.
But if you want to find that any other way, you can just go to browse and look for it there as well. So, if you're not somebody hadn't pinned that yet, you just scroll down and look for resource groups, and then you can pin it, or you can just go here if you want to browse, and you can do search if you've got
Yep,
many of them out
exactly.
there.
So here's our Azure resource group that we just created.
Okay. So there's one we.
And you see it's still running. So it's probably now creating the VM. Yep. It's starting to provision the VM. And back in our portal, we can click on the VM here and see what state the VM is actually in, and we should see something like provisioning or something like that. Now, one of the great things about resource groups in general is if I were to say, okay, this works, I'm tested, it's done, I don't want this in my account anymore, I don't want this VM and all this stuff in my account anymore. I don't have to come in and individually delete each one of these. I can just come up and select delete on the resource group, and that will delete all of the resources within the group. Yeah,
Everything in
exactly.
it. Right. Yeah, it used to be a major pain in the old portal. Well, still in the current GA portal, I
Exactly.
should say. This is much easier to do. So you can see why we're headed this way, and why we're collapsing PowerShell into using Resource Manager by default. You can see how the, I guess, the evolution of the tool sets has come along. All based on feedback from users. Well, what makes it easier? How do we deploy many things at one time? This is why we're doing it. And then Visual Studio just comes along and makes it even that more powerful.
Exactly. So, and this is the PowerShell equivalent command to what you saw in the portal. You just click Remove Azure Resource Group, specify the name, and I like to throw a verbose in there with a force for good measure, and you run that, and that would delete the resource group and all the resources in it, and you'd no longer be getting charged for the VM and storage accounts and all of that.
Right. Very cool. So we covered a lot of ground. I think as people start to play with this, we're going to start to see all types of new ways of using it to implement different solutions. This has been a great overview. Any closing thoughts to what we're trying to do here?
Spend the time to learn how to create resource groups using PowerShell, using Visual Studio. Visual Studio is a great tool. I've had a lot of customers asking about, okay, can I go into the portal, create this, and then export a template? And right now we can't. But hopefully, out on our user voice page, that feature will get voted up.
All right. Well, I think that's going to be a wrap for today's show. I think we covered a lot of ground. Definitely, different areas and things to think about. But we prepped a machine with Visual Studio. We added the pieces that we needed for Visual Studio to work properly for what we're trying to do. We showed it in PowerShell briefly, and then we also showed it in Visual Studio on deploying a Resource Manager template. So, Ian, great stuff. We'll be back. We'll do some more videos soon. We'll talk through Server Explorer. It's another great place to do stuff in Azure with Visual Studio. But check out other great links. I'm going to go ahead and post some links here for some more in-depth Azure information and jump starts and different videos we've done. So take a look at those, folks, and that's a wrap.
All right. Thanks, Tommy, for having me on.
Great.